Okay, thank you for that introduction. As you said, my PhD project is titled Population Genetics of Farmland Sawflies. I'm based at the Scottish Crop Research Institute and supervised by Drs. Alison Carley, Joanne Russell and Steve Hubbard. This is a fairly new project, which I just started 6 months ago. So this talk is basically an introduction to the work I'm doing and to the directions I intend to take it. So just a bit of background to what I'm doing first. It's been known for some time now that populations of farmland birds in the UK have been in dramatic decline. These are birds such as the grey partridge, which you see here, the yellowhammer and the corn bunting. That's just three of the key species. There are many more which are suffering because of this. So these population declines have coincided with a marked change in agricultural practices throughout the UK, which we generally refer to as the intensification of farming. And under that heading come factors such as the increased use of pesticides, the loss of field margins combined with an increase in field size, an increase in the number of winter sown crops, and overall changes in crop rotation schemes. So not only are these factors directly affecting the birds, but it was Dick Potts in 1970 who first noted that these farming aspects may be affecting the birds indirectly by taking out their invertebrate food source. The sawfly larvae are a particularly important part of that food source as they're very large and fleshy and they provide a lot of the nutrients in one go that are essential for the growth and development of chicks such as the grey partridge. So just a wee bit on the biology of sawflies first of all. Although their common name is sawflies, they actually belong to the order Hymenoptera, which is the same as ants, wasps and bees. And within that they form their own suborder, formerly known as the Symphyta. And you can tell them from other members of the order due to the lack of a wasp waist. And they take their common name from the shape of the female ovipositor, which takes the form of two saw-like appendages, which are used to slice into plant material, creating a safe place for the female to store her eggs. And because of that, that does cause a certain amount of damage to the plant. So to some farmers, basically sawflies are just considered pests. Sawflies are particularly susceptible to the aspects of farming that I discussed for a number of reasons. We know that their populations are already in decline, particularly because of soil cultivation and the crop rotational changes, and this has caused their populations to become small and localised. On top of this, we know that sawfly adults are poor dispersers. They tend to carry out the life cycle in the area where they emerge from the pupa. And because of that, we have an increased risk of inbreeding within certain sawfly populations. And inbreeding in sawflies might be somewhat more of a problem to sawflies than it may be for other insects due to the possible presence of something called single locus complementary sex determination, or SLCSD. I'll just explain briefly what that is. Now, in the Hymenoptera, the dominant mechanism of sex determination is arenatocus parthenogenesis, which basically means that an unfertilised egg will develop into a haploid male and a fertilised egg will develop into a diploid female. Now, if you also have SLCSD operating within a population or a species, sex isn't only dependent on the ploidy of the individual, but also upon the allelic composition at a single genomic locus. And if an individual is heterozygous at that locus, they will develop into a female. If they're homozygous at that locus, they will develop into a diploid male. A male diploid produced in that fashion is effectively sterile as they can't produce viable offspring, making them a burden to their population. Under inbreeding conditions, SLCSD would be particularly detrimental due to the increase in homozygosity. And one of the first indications that SLCSD is in operation would be a male-biased sex ratio. I'll come back to that in just a moment. So one of the first things I did when I started the project was actually to collect some sawfly material. And I did that via the use of malaise traps, as you can see here. Basically, a malaise trap is a tent-like structure designed to catch flying insects. Basically, they fly into the central barrier and are directed upwards by the shape of the structure into the collecting bottle containing ethanol, which kills them and preserves them until you can go back and pick up the insects. Now, I've set up four of these traps local to the University of Dundee. One was on a conservation headland at the SCRI, where I'm based. Another was on a grass and wildflower strip at a local farm. another actually within the cultivated fields, not in the margins, and one was maintained for me by Dr. Mark Young at the University of Aberdeen, basically just to maximise the amount of material that I could gather. So we collected from these traps weekly and maintained a database of the collection data, the actual species name of every individual collected at each of these sites, and we also noted the sex of the individuals. So the preliminary analysis of this data showed that there is a significant deviation within the populations at the sites that I collected from the expected 50-50 ratio. And at each of this, basically the first column here is the males within the population, and the second column is the females. And each of these three sites, firstly this one, then this one, a chi-squared analysis showed that that is a significant difference. Now that isn't by any means conclusive evidence that we have SLCSD, but it is definitely a preliminary indication. And will be one of the main aspects of the project will be early next year to confirm the presence of SLCSD via the use of flow cytometry. So what I'm actually working on at the moment is developing a method of quantifying genetic variation within sawfly populations. Now we know that small population size results in inbreeding and a loss of genetic variation. Therefore, we can use the degree of genetic variation to estimate the extent to which a population is inbred. And we intend to do this by the by using molecular markers. And the type of marker that I've chosen to use is microsatellites. Now, microsatellite, or a simple sequence repeat, is basically an area of DNA where you have sets of base pairs repeated one after the other. Here we have sets of CA repeated in a long string. And CA repeats are most common among the arthropoda, so that's the type that I've actually chosen to look for. And the important point about these is that the microsatellite sequence, the base pairs, can vary in length at the same genomic location across a population of individuals. And you can consider a length variant of a microsatellite in the same way that you consider an allele of a gene. So one that's going to be isolating the microsatellites is what I'm actually working on at the moment. And I don't want to get too in-depth into the methods of actually isolating that within a 10-minute presentation. But if anyone did want to ask about that, I would certainly be happy to discuss it. So once I've actually identified the microsatellite loci, I'll be using these to estimate the extent of genetic variation within the sawfly populations. And by doing that, I'll be using the microsatellite length variants to determine the level of heterozygosity of these length variants within a population. So obviously, once we've done that, we can quantify the genetic variation within one population. We can then compare genetic variation between fields on the same farm or between farms. And what we'll be hoping to do is relate this genetic variation back to the farming prescription at the site, whether they have an intensive farming prescription or a non-intensive farming prescription, something a bit more conservation friendly. And obviously then we'll be able to apply that hopefully across greater geographical distances as well. So that's where I'm hoping to take it next, once I've actually isolated the microsats. I'd just like to acknowledge my supervisors, the funders, primarily the Game and Wildlife Conservancy Trust, and basically all the technicians and staff members that have helped me with the project so far. So thank you for your attention, and if anyone has any questions, I will try to answer them.
Larval stages of the sawflies that you've collected? Have you tried collecting larval stages as well to get...
That is something we are actually going to go into. First of all, we basically got the malaise traps up with the intention of basically getting the molecular work off the ground. But we are hoping to use emergence traps next year at the same sites to collect the larvae, and at that point we'll then start looking at larvae. These are univoltine. The farmland species that I'll be looking at are univoltine. You do get some bivoltine species of sawflies. But it's the fact that these are univoltine and they overwinter in the soil. A lot of the farming mechanisms they use disturb it, and they're disturbing the pupa, which obviously affects their populations as well.
Any other questions?
Okay, thank you.